Blog Talk Radio.
All right, race fans, y'all know what time it is. It's Race Chat Live. Tonight we got Chris and Craig, along with a special guest, Chaz Thompson, will be coming on to talk to us. And we'll be reviewing the do's and the don'ts at Texas, and also this upcoming track, ISM Speedway, Phoenix, Arizona. Race fans, we're down to the last two races of the season. Wow. What a year it's been already. Whoa. What a year it's been for Race Chat Live. My goodness, there's my co-partner right there, Mr. Craig Moore. Craig, how you doing?
Man, I'm aggravated. But other than that, I'm doing just fine.
That's great to hear. I love it when somebody's aggravated. Hopefully we'll get people stirred up tonight. And we're waiting on our guest to call in. Mr. CJ Sports must be here, because I don't know if you'd be in the studio without him. Mr. CJ Sports, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing. I am here. And he could find himself into the studio if he wanted to without me. But, yes, I am here, though.
Great deal. Great deal. Glad to have y'all with us here tonight. Of course, thank you all, you race fans. Mr. CJ Sports, you want to give us our opening real quick?
Yeah, I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You guys can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life. I also want to thank Maxivation Digital Media, hooked up with our great logos and banners. Also, Carolina Sports Plus, for all your merchandise you need, check them out on Facebook. That's Carolina Sports Plus. And then also, I got to thank the I-95 Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcasting or syndicating the show. Without these great marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports, and also check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation.
I tell you what, I'm already short-winded just listening to him, Craig. I tell you, that's a lot to come out with, but it sounds perfect every single time. Great job,
it
Mr. CJ
like
Sports. We appreciate you giving us a home.
Doing.
Do what?
It actually sounds like he knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, probably more than I or you. So, you know, the topics are out there. We've got a lot to talk about in a short time to do it. As we wait on our guest, Craig, how do you want to start things?
Who the hell does Eric Almirola think he is?
What grinds Craig's gears? Come on.
The man has won two races, and he thinks Logano should move over for him. That was a clean racing incident. Here's a theory. Larry Mack said it best, and I'm going to steal a line from Larry Mack. Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, don't show up in Phoenix this weekend. Just show up in Homestead. Because, obviously, you're already locked in, so you don't really need to race hard for bonus points to assure that you have a decent shot. So don't show up in Phoenix, just show up at Homestead.
Right. When you can still earn bonus points for the final race of the year. That's ridiculous. What
that
the hell was Eric Almirola thinking?
That was the stupidest thing I have heard. You know what? I think that trumps Martin Truex.
I think that the boys at Stuart Haas, and when I say boys, I'm talking about Smoke, Harvick, and Bowyer, they said, wait a minute. I thought we were getting rid of Kurt Busch. Bada-bing, bada-boom.
True story. CJ, I know we're not going to let Chris talk for a little while. We need to give him a break. What do you think about all this rigmarole with, Crybaby Adol?
I seen the replay and I was kind of confused. I thought maybe missed something from the angle that I had seen. I didn't see. I don't know. I just felt that everybody's I don't know, complaining about all this stuff, and it's all racing so far for me. So I was kind of confused.
Now I will say that the Xfinity race the day before, I kind of thought that was a little dirty for a pass for the win from Custer on Tyler Reddick, but I do understand it. I do understand it. And
you
know
have
what?
To.
Reddick wasn't.
We're talking about
Reddick
points
wasn't.
Championships here, guys. We're talking about the reason why you race all year long to hold that trophy at the end and say you are the winner. And he didn't do anything wrong. Custer didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing wrong here. When the rules are you win and you're in, expect to get jumped from the high ropes on the last lap, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's all I really want to talk about Crybaby Almirola, because you know what? He's, as you said, Chris, he's starting to sound like Kurt Busch of old. What I want to talk about, and I know CJ is chomping at the bit at this, Carl Edwards was in Texas on Saturday. And, Dale Jarrett said he'd field a car for him. Junior, I'm sure, would put him in the one car next year or possibly field an Xfinity ride for him if he so chose to even come back, as he says, only on a part-time basis. I think that them showing up there and seeing everybody may have gotten Carl Edwards' competitive juices flowing. What do you think, Chris?
With Carl Edwards?
Yeah.
He contradicted his own interview. He said, if I come back, I wouldn't want to do it part-time. I would want to race part time. I wouldn't want to be all in. And then at the end of the interview, he said, "If I come back, I'm going to be 100% all in." So I know Mr. CJ Sports sitting across from me. I know that he feels like Carl Edwards is going to come back. And I just go back to Barry Sanders, y'all. He's gone. And if he comes back, say he races three or four races and he doesn't feel competitive enough. I mean, guys, we're talking about almost 2 years now he's been out of a race car. It doesn't seem like long, but when you're already pushing 38, 39, you know, I don't know. I don't think it would be a good career move for Carl to come back full-time. I'd like to see him in a Daytona 500.
And I told you, I don't know if it's to be a full-time driver. I still think it's got to do with something of some type of ownership. Who's to say that he doesn't come in and fills the car part of the year and kind of make the sponsors happy before he changes, you know, hands it over to, you know, who's going to take over. I don't know. All I know is for the last 2 years, I've said Carl Edwards has not done something. Tells me that something is going to happen that is going to have him in a car or have him something to do with the ownership or something to do with the team. And when I saw that, I had to share it, but obviously I got a good chuckle out of that because I don't think he is 100% done.
You know, to continue this, he almost convinced me not, Mr. CJ Sports, Craig Moore, and I'm going to tell you why. There's always that twinkle in a race car driver's eye, and you keep him long enough there at the track, and he's going to want to drive one. Now, this doesn't mean that he's going to, you know, just stop being a family man and jump in a race car and go back to racing 36 weeks out of the year. But I believe Carl, in some way, form, or fashion, wants to be involved with something at the track. And what that is, maybe he hasn't found yet. He can't adopt anything until after he's released from the contract. And unfortunately, you know, there's still two more races to go where he's contractually connected to Joe Gibbs Racing. So, does he seem like he wants to come back? Yeah. Does he look like he's good enough to come back? Yeah. Why doesn't he come back? I don't know. Maybe two trips around the world in a sailboat. Maybe that's, you know, we watched Ricky. What was it? Ricky Williams. I mean, he basically spent 2 years away, come back from football, you know, went and smoked weed somewhere way off on the other side of the world. And then come back and played for the Dolphins and for a few years, look like his old self. So, you know, anything's possible, guys. Why Carl would want to come back, I'm just not sure about that. Unless his $80 million that he earned while he was at Roush Fenway Racing just wasn't enough.
All right, well, Travis is on the line. He has joined us in the studio. There's one other thing I want to touch on, so Chris, remind me of it. I want to talk about the pit road penalty that Clint Bowyer received, and it wasn't for anything he did. It was something that his crew member did. Maybe you saw it. I don't know, but we'll talk about it after we get done listening to you. Mr. Chaz Thompson! How are you, buddy?
Oh, all right.
All right, well, the floor is yours.
Chaz, how you doing?
Say hello.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
How you doing?
Oh, you hear me?
Yeah, you working on some things? Good to have you on here on the radio show.
Yeah, always working on something, that's for sure. So,
well, it sounds and seems like you have a lot of projects going on. Of course, if this man needs an introduction, it's the Dirt Track State of Mind. I think that's his real brand there. You've created a lot of outlets, man. Let's hear about some things. Tell us about yourself real quick, Chaz, for those who are maybe first-time listeners or maybe your own fan base so they know who the hell you are, because I know we've had this discussion ourselves on private message not too long ago. I didn't realize that you were a former iRacer. We'll get into that later. Let's hear something about you, Chaz.
Well, I mean, for those who don't know about me, I'm just pretty outspoken about the, I would call righteousness, but I guess it's been somewhat spun into being called political, and they say anytime you're talking about something that it's just talking about it, and then once you involve lives or respect or money, then it becomes a political issue. So I guess you would say that I talk about the politics of racing, but I more so just see it as a righteousness aspect where we live in a world basically in the regular world that just doesn't know how the racing world operates, and I think that translates
right
into misjudgment of dirt track racing cars, talents, and the sport as a whole.
Basically, hold on right there. Now, you just made our ratings spike through the roof because you said something about lying and cheating and it all falls into a political fold. You yourself has been a simple man, worked in the industry. What created this idea to inform the masses?
Well, I mean, really, like I used to, you know, work at doing media marketing for two racetracks for 5-6 years, and you know, thousands of miles being driven trying to, you know, acquire sponsorship as well as spread the, you know, events at the track that were going on, and just ran across a lot of, you know, looks, you know, like, what the hell are you talking about? And I think that's one of the biggest problems is awareness. You know, we just had an Inside the Dirt there come out from the Race for Hope event, and, you know, even drivers like Ricky Thornton Jr. kind of agree with me there. Bobby Pierce did when we had him on in an interview, and it's really just an awareness issue. One of the greatest examples of that was one of the tracks I was helping out was located in Mesquite, the birthplace of the World of Outlaws there, Devil's Bow. And I would always send out, you know, newsletters, information about drivers, results, et cetera, to all the local mainstream media outlets. And we got them all down there in Dallas, the Dallas area. Mesquite's right outside of it, not even 5 minutes, a suburb. And, you know, never getting a response, of course. They would never pay attention. The only time they actually did call us to come out was the day after Kevin Ward Jr. got killed. But that's just another example of the situation. But one week they did. The World of Outlaws was coming to town, and actually they did call and ask, you know, can we come out there and cover? We hear the Outlaws are you know, playing this week, and I kind of kept talking to them, and at the end of it all, basically it was a mistake. They called the track by accident. They thought that they were calling for the Mesquite Outlaws, which was a brand-new arena football team that had just been created. And, you know, the arena football team was getting all that mainstream media attention. They were also getting all the big-time sponsorships, and basically that boils down to They've heard of what football is, you know. They know what that even is. Whereas a World of Outlaws sprint car, what is that, you know? So started, you know, researching histories of the sport after, you know, that occurred and other things like that, trying to figure out where, you know, it went from full stands to empty stands, and just pretty much, you know, referenced it to basically a hell of a marketing ploy back there in the 90s with NASCAR. And
right.
When I started.
Right. And you have a big, strong opinion on the NASCAR level and how it kind of, in your words, it's hard to use, but in my words, I would say kind of robbing from the smaller groups. And you have a really interesting theory on that, right, Chaz? Kind of like feeding, they fed from the short tracks and the dirt tracks, and then all of a sudden they got to this certain level and they were cut off. Is this kind of something to the truth?
Well, and it all, I mean, in a short bit, that's pretty much it. It all goes back to power. I mean, NASCAR's basically been drunk on power ever since they took over the motorsports world with the destruction of IndyCar and everything like that. I mean, they became, you know, top dog, and they were top dog of the southern region of the United States for a long time, but as far as across America as being number one, they were not viewed like that until the IndyCar split, really. Not only their surge that they did have there with Gordon and Earnhardt Sr., but until IndyCar got taken out, IndyCar was still number one. So after that occurred, after the split and all that, and they took over the mainstream attention, right, almost, you know, not less than 3 years later, you know, you had Dale Earnhardt Sr. die, which, I mean, that instance right there, really, you know, they just signed that big deal with Fox to put the whole NASCAR schedule on Fox, you know, the first, you know, really the first mainstream full year season they were going to have on a 10-year deal
that, you know, supposedly brought NASCAR from a regional sport to a worldwide mainstream sport. Go ahead.
Right, I mean, it was still, you know, regularly seen on cable networks, but it wasn't a national broadcast every single week like it had turned into then. And then you had the Dale Earnhardt Sr. thing happen, and obviously that, I mean, we get news when one of our drivers die, but when their biggest possible name that ever lived dies, they obviously, I mean, it turned it into even more of a not attention, but it got out there a little bit more over that too. I mean, I think a lot of people would agree with that. That instance did put it at least in front of a lot of people's eyes.
Now though, times, Chaz, is, you know, it's struggling, right? When you look on TV, you're almost embarrassed that this isn't a mainstream sport anymore. It's like fans have given up on it. How can you be mad at NASCAR when dirt tracks and NASCAR is not on the top of the level anymore? They've obviously, by viewership and everything else, they're falling. Isn't that kind of kicking a dead horse there? How do these two environments and leagues, how do they interact with each other, Chaz?
Well, I guess where I was leading to is once they did surge there, you know, they really took over everything, and then Indian Kart was just, you know, even in more shambles. Dirt track racing was, you know, starting to become more of a stepping stone. So even though, let's fast forward to now, I mean, they got drunk on power, they got all this money, and then they made moves basically to kind of make money. The Car Tomorrow obviously made some private manufacturer and developer a lot of money to build those cars. So, I mean, there's a lot of moves made for the interest of money. That's when the Rent-A-Ride deal started coming along a lot more. Joey Logano, drivers like that, even though I can't believe I'm mentioning Joey Logano because the last 2 weeks I think he's done nothing wrong, and I hate to defend the guy because he kind of did spur the Rent-A-Ride you know, saga there that occurred with NASCAR. But honestly, where they are right now is a product of their own drunken powerness. And I would like to distance ourselves from that because I guess people were okay living under their wing, and I was never okay with that, really. So, I mean, I think we need to look to be something different, because if we do want to look at ourselves as a minor league to their major league, then we are dependent on what they are instead of dependent on what we're going to be. I think that dirt track racing just needs to stop living off of stock car welfare and worry about building ourselves up.
I hear you. And see, there's some things in that I truly believe with you. But so let's take it, let's separate the two. You've manifested these ideas. You've brought something to the table. It's a little quirky at times. Sometimes it gets real. You get a lot of bad feedback, but you still keep on pushing. What's going on there, man?
Well, with the talk videos and stuff like that, obviously, I mean, just like somebody told me the other day, I made a little Trump video. It got a lot of attention, apparently, but somebody commented on there and said, it's just like you're, he said, you're right, but it's just like your racing videos. You're trying to tell people stuff about the figures they have in their life that are almost set up as a God-worshipping position. So I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, there are a lot of people who are somewhat psychologically worshiping some of these figures in the racing world. They're on a celebrityistic level, kind of like a young teenage girl worships or wishes they could be somebody on Instagram that's really, you know, got an Instagram model or something like that. Kind of the same thing. It's just in a manly, kind of like football with Tom Brady or something like that. You know, they're infatuated with these people. And if you come out and say anything against these people, then you're automatically an enemy and hated on and all that. Inside the Dirt and stuff is basically the reality show that is, that's separate from the talk video, still under the same banner. Inside the Dirt's kind of my work, where I put it in where it isn't about me, where it's about the racers, trying to expose them, trying to show them, and more than just a car number going around the track, you know. I don't really feature – I feature some racing in there, sometimes more than I would like to, but I try to do more about the driver and who's actually in the car and about the sport and try to represent it in that way. I kind of look at the Inside the Dirt saga as like, here's my work, you know, because a lot of people are saying I just run my mouth and talk all this crap and I don't ever do anything, but I have all this evidence and all this work of things that I have done that have nothing to do with what I'm talking about or running my mouth or anything like that. The talking videos, I mean, they get what they get, but nobody's ever going to like or like all of you. I mean, people make fun of me because I like my own videos, and it's like, if you can't like yourself, then nobody's going to. So, I mean, there's a lot of people who do agree.
Well, also, a smart marketer knows that if he hits that like button, then you automatically get somebody else to see it, right? I mean, that's kind of tenfold there. Come on. I mean, they can try to find things that they disagree with. And in this, I've heard you use this word yourself, snowflake era. It's really easy to strike people's chords.
Well, I mean, snowflake, that's kind of what my Trump video was about, was calling some of the Trump supporters snowflakes, even though they call everyone else Trump, or everybody.
Well, wait a minute. I'm a Trump supporter. Why would you want to exclude me or make me ridicule me because I support Trump?
Well, no,
I mean,
exactly.
It's America, it's going to be big, you know, it's going to be huge.
Well, the video was meant to be partially comical, but there was also a raffle going on with a charity where people bought certain spots that I wouldn't be on Facebook for 48 hours. So I was trying to make a video that would really piss some people off to try to make them go buy raffle tickets to shut me up for the charity. So that's why that video was even
Haters, y'all. That's true haters. Go ahead. And then I want to bring in Mr. CJ Sports, of course. I'll bring him in last, but I'm sure my counterpart, my co-host, my friend, Mr. Craig Moore, who's also a Trump supporter, I think he's probably going to have something for you as well. So go ahead, finish what you're saying.
Yeah, well, in the video, I wasn't really talking. I was talking about how, we'll just touch on this for like 30 seconds. When I was talking about the Trump snowflake deal, I was basically saying how, if you come out and say anything against Trump, then you're automatically, you know, people raise hell at you. They'll talk all this crap to you. They'll say you're this, say you're that, and just because you don't agree with something that the Trump said. And I was just basically saying that Trump supporters are controlled too much by Trump because he calls fake news and everything like that. He makes it to the point to where the only news that you're going to believe or the only thing you're going to believe is what he tells you. That's what he's basically setting up for. That's why I call him fear-mongering in more than one way, because anyone who studies history knows that that's how any dictatorship was led, is when media was protruded from just the person running things. So I was just trying to make a point to people about the fake news comments that he always says and always does. Like, not everything is fake, but if you truly believe that the only thing that's the truth is coming from him, that's giving way too much power into one person alone, in my opinion.
Lies, cheating, and politics right here tonight on Race Chat Live.
Oh,
I can't believe we're having a political talk. He says he's only going to give it 30 seconds, but I've really got to let Craig Moore chime into this. Craig, please welcome yourself to the studio. This Craig Chaz, y'all talk, man. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Listen, I only got one thing to say. If you don't vote, you don't bitch. So if you don't like what he's doing, you got a shot to get rid of him in 2020. But I'm going to tell you what, it ain't happening. Now let's get back to race talk.
I will say one thing to that, one reply. The voting deal, I've bounced back and forth. I'm on the edge to where I don't really think voting matters just because so much money's tied up into who's actually in office and who isn't. Behind the scenes a little bit. But at the same time, you know, this last election, you know, set record numbers on who voted. It was 110 million. There's 350 million in the country. So two-thirds of the country automatically isn't voting anymore. So you really got to look at that. Are they happy that not so many people are voting? Because usually the voting age is up in age. It's more so like 50 plus that is like 45% of the voting populace. So it's the ones that are set up with the conservative.
I'll say right here, I think that they should raise the voting age to 25 because an 18-year-old voting these days is kind of scary. But let's get back to the racing topics,
definitely.
Craig. I know you got a good racing question for him. Let's move on from the political stand because
last week when we were talking about setting up tonight's show, we started talking about money involved in local racing. And the money involved in local racing from a sponsorship aspect. You remember that, Chaz?
Yeah.
What do we gotta do to get sponsors to our local tracks? And I'm not talking about
and Craig, let me help you out on this. This was an analogy used by high school football stadiums and how they've been able to build $60 million stadiums for high school football players, but yet when it comes out to your weekly dirt track racing, there's no money there, no money at all. And Craig, you're furthering the point by asking, well, where does the sponsorship money come from?
Aren't those high school stadiums also tied in with tax dollars, though?
Yeah, and you're going to pay for it one way or the other because they want these kids to have.
Aren't city-owned racetracks like Nashville Speedway and other racetracks like that? The dirt track out in Iowa, the Knoxville racetrack.
Well,
that's in the middle of the town, right? I mean, the town owns that racetrack.
I mean, Talladega Super Speedway, you know, I think they just got through like 4 or 5 months ago asking for like $400 million of tax dollars for improvements. So, I mean, they're getting in with the tax dollars. I mean, that goes right back to political. So we're trying to get away from that. I still say it boils down to awareness. You just get people knowing about the sport, that'll fix a lot of things. Immediately, it's hard to do it all. Like I said, I used to hunt for sponsorship dollars myself, and it's really hard to convince somebody to give any type of significant amount of money to something that they've never heard of. That's just hard to do. You know, even though, for instance, like that arena football example that I was giving, you know, they were only getting about 500 to 1,000 people in the stands. They weren't outperforming the racetrack. It's just that when you ask somebody to sponsor a football team, it's a lot more relevant and understanding than to sponsor the sprint car that they've never heard of or this modified. What is that? You know, it's just perspective and awareness that is the biggest issue. I mean, you can try, and I did, you could try as hard as you can think of. You can make as many different packages that you want to make. You can make as many videos and as many driver profiles and make your websites and everything look as beautiful as possible. But it's just hard to convince any type of business owner that's not involved in racing, which is 90% of what any sponsorship we do get right now is just business owners and people who want to help out the track who already probably have a race car. The only ones that aren't doing that are the ones that are, like you said, tied in with the city, or they're happy and
on
lucky
point.
Enough.
You're on point.
or they're happy or lucky enough to be a Ken Schrader or a Tony Stewart, and they're tied in with NASCAR. So, I mean, and those outlets that they gain from their NASCAR experience, or just because they're a celebrityistic name within the racing world, period, that they were on television long enough to get some type of notoriety for the name that they have. So, I mean, that's why I say it. That's why I go after the issues that I go after. That's why I say it's more of an awareness thing, you know, and I think that's something that has to be worked on collectively. I don't really think there is an immediate fix. I think the most immediate fix that we've had or even been logically able to obtain has been NASCAR welfare, and I think people have been used to it too long, trying to hope for Kyle Larson to get on television and mention a sprint car every Sunday, hoping that that occurs. You know, hoping that they
when I look up the definition of NASCAR welfare, I can't get the definition. I need you to explain what you mean by NASCAR welfare.
NASCAR welfare is basically what I just described. You know, hoping that a Kyle Larson will go up there and mention sprint car racing, hoping you know that he'll take some of his money or any of them will take some of their money and then give it to the dirt track world. That's welfare exactly. It's something that you're not earning really as a collective bar, and you're hoping to get the money from one side to another group to help them. And that's kind of what we've had go on, you know, with the Tony Stewart kind of set the train on that one. You know, Jeff Gordon was the first guy to really make the leap, but didn't really give two craps about dirt track racing, which I do think really made Tony Stewart's stature a lot bigger when he actually got up there and started mentioning dirt, because we had this Jeff Gordon guy up there for however long until Tony Stewart came along and started mentioning it, and Gordon never did. So you would probably never have the phrase "forgot where he came from" without Jeff Gordon ignoring the dirt track racing experience that he had. So that's kind of what NASCAR welfare is, depending, hoping, wishing, praying for these guys up there in NASCAR to help out the sport or mention it when they get on TV, or to take any of the money that they earn up there and give it back, instead of us with our own superstars and own cars and own show trying to protrude that to the country as its own thing, not as a minor league, but more so as a different form of racing, kind of like UFC to boxing. I used that analogy here recently, and a lot of people like it. You know, at one time, UFC was just a bunch of rednecks in a circle of a cage, you know, and it was unknown. Only, you know, rednecks or people that you didn't hear about went to that kind of stuff. Now it's mainstream, and they didn't do that by taking their best fighter and sending them to boxing to try to get some publicity. You know, that's not how it works. They marketed themselves as their own thing, as their own genre, as their own show, and it was built.
But it took infrastructure to be able to create that, right? That's why Dana White got paid like he did. And that's why these billionaires and these movie stars bought into buying USC. But you're asking the last 80-something drivers that have come through NASCAR to basically just show some love back to where they come from. But in this rent-a-ride generation, there is really not much love to give back, right? Because they had to pay for their whole way, all the way to being a driver. And we've seen this multiple times over and over again. How do you make this marriage work? And my last question for you before I let Mr. CJ Sports come on, where do you come up with these plots to engage your fans? I think that you're very artistic and you're able to present something that's interesting just because it's not like every other video. Is that something you've cued in on, Chaz? Do you bring it over the top so that people will stop what they're doing, that it's something different than what they're seeing in most places?
Well, I think just to end on that last thing, I think the best thing you actually kind of tilted on it there on the entry of your question and speech right there or a reconciling of what we're going to talk about here soon. But I think, honestly, the best thing that these dirt guys in NASCAR could do right now, especially somebody like a Kyle Larson, would be just quit. Just straight up quit. Say on ESPN, I'm retiring, I'm going dirt track racing. That, I think Christopher Bell, honestly, is the most logical person to do that, because TRD is definitely all about the money, and they're just sitting them in an Xfinity ride right now. But contracts and everything, like y'all were talking about Carl Edwards and stuff, like there's probably a lot of things they got to work out. As far as, like, where I come up with stuff and and talk about things. Really, I just kind of let the motion of the ocean depict on what I'm going to talk about. I mean, any real topic that I've had kind of just occurred without me even talking about it, like the Robert Ballou, Tony Stewart deal. I mean, I didn't have a hand in that at all, but it occurred, and I won. And obviously, there was a lot of things to talk about there because there was a lot of narcissistic, you know, say one thing, do another type of things that were going on in there that, you know, I guess you would call I could commentate about. Really, I'm just color commentating in a very honest way. I mean, we have these things that I'm doing right now in the dirt track or racing world period that go on in every other type of sport. You got people saying that LeBron James is overrated. You got people saying, you know, that Tom Brady isn't as good as he looks, or Aaron Rodgers, or you got these kind of debates left and right in every other sport. But when I come out here and say one thing that I think he's just, you know, for instance, like a Kyle Larkin statement that obviously still defines me to this day, that I think he's one of the greatest race car drivers out there, but I think there's somebody else who's in dirt that's just as good as him but just didn't have the opportunity to drive 360s and 410s at 14 years old. That's the worst thing you could say in the world. That's just an abomination to the racing world, is that kind of commentary. When it's just regular talk. It's just commentary. I mean, it's not like I'm wishing the guy death. I mean, there's other casual fans of other sports that would probably wish, you know, one of these opposing football players or basketball players would die. I mean, I'm sure that there are those
people
out there.
It's on groups, man. It's on the NASCAR groups, I promise you. We hear it all the time. It seems like dirt track fans want to bitch about the track and attendance and how much the hot dog was, or a caution they got called on somebody. But in the upper side of the sport, it gets pretty ugly and nasty. Mr. City Sports, you got
drivers. There's a lot of drivers. For instance, when I traveled across and went to some USAC events, and you know, I know that Keith Coons Motorsports has heard me some point, or someone with them has heard me say that he's the, you know, talent agency to stock cars, and what they're doing is a bad thing. And you know, I'm honestly looking over my back waiting for one of their crew members to charge upon me, you know? So, I mean, but eventually one of the people tied into the organization did come over. I thought something was going to happen, but he wanted to thank me for what I'm saying. Likes what I'm saying. There's some other people that I can't name because of contracts that enjoy and love what I'm saying and trying to expose. There's also some huge dirt track names that love what I'm saying and trying to expose. I think that's one
you
of the biggest.
You actually told somebody, you said, If you want to fight me, don't come running up to me, talking to me, throw some punches. That won me, man. That's the kind of guy that I want to stand for.
Well, I mean, that's the simple thing. I mean, everybody loves to talk, and not a lot of people are about action. A lot of people talk about fighting and all that. And you know, that instance, you know, and I don't really mind that. I mean, do what you got to do. I mean, I literally was, you know, threatened to be killed by somebody associated with Christopher Bell at the Tulsa shootout last year. And I told them, you know, just do what you got to do. I'm not going to, you know, back down from what I'm saying or anything like that. And I needed to go up, get on my knees and apologize, and I didn't, and nothing happened to me. So, I mean, a lot of people are just going to talk. Some people may do something someday, but that's just what it is. I mean, they're not going to shut me up. I think we have, and that goes back to kind of the Trump thing in a way. It is kind of politics because you have a lot of people that want to censor speech, but it's not necessarily one side. It depends on what topic you're on which side wants to silence you. You know, so
lying,
it's like in
cheating and politics, lying,
oh my
cheating,
God.
And politics. That's what's going on here, and it's lies being put out by both sides, and you know that as well as I do. It's censorship coming out by both sides. You know Alex Jones has been censored by everybody. Why? He's not saying anything that's off the wall, you know. But it is certain ones, and when the censorship starts, you know as well as I do, Chaz. When that starts, then it can be anybody. They could censor you. And I'm surprised,
you know,
that you haven't created enough stir yet to have somebody try to censor you. But you keep trucking, and you keep you just bring the truth out there, and people are gonna make their own judgment from it. But you know, I support what you do, and like I said, I want Mr. CJ Sports to ask you a question. Mr. CJ Sports, are you there?
Yes, I'm sitting back. I'm very intrigued with this whole conversation. I'm still stuck on the if you don't like yourself, then nobody's going to like you comment. I've never been one to like my own post, and that's kind of changed my whole thought process on that. And so I was glad to hear that, because I had never really thought about it that way. And the whole NASCAR welfare thing, that's also opened up, you know, a whole different thought as well. So I don't really have a question. I'm just kind of taking all this in. There's a lot of things that have made a lot of light bulbs go off just listening, and it's been a very intriguing conversation here.
I've never really got that response. That's interesting, but I don't know why I can't stop talking about it right now. I'm hitting on all cylinders pretty good. I've only stuttered like 4 times, and I don't really know what's going on. Maybe we're dealing with possession here. It's possible.
Well, you know, I don't forget a question in the middle of a question, but sometimes shit happens here on Race Chat Live. We want to thank our sponsors, even though I said a bad word. But Craig, come on, Craig, save me here. Come on.
Hey, Chaz, I got to ask something. Now, the last 2 or 3 times we've had you on, your mouth has run like a duck's ass on wheels, and we couldn't shut you up. Tonight it seems like you took a sedative before you come on the air. What's up with that?
You know, I have somewhat developed a side gig. Well, not gig, but a side, I don't know, a little bit of an escape. There's this game on online called Warface. It's kind of like a first-person shooter. And I think I've been able to take a little frustration, you know, on that, and maybe that's what's done it. No, I'm just playing. I don't really know. I don't know. I've dealt with so much. I don't know. Maybe back then, you know, the whole criticism and, you know, having thousands of people calling you a dumbass and hating on you and saying they're going to kill you and do all this has kind of just become normalized now, to where I know a lot of stuff, and I've also got to experience a lot of the stuff that I'm saying. I've had a lot of people, like I said, when I have a lot of people who are really top race car drivers, you know, and I have all these regular casual fans who just want to hate, but then I have some real high level race car drivers in dirt, you know, kind of support what I'm saying. It only takes a few of those guys who are actually out there with their life on the line, who are actually some of the greatest race car drivers in this country, to come up here or to run into me in a pit or wherever it's at and say they love what I'm doing and trying to do. It kind of, you know, takes the whole caring about what people are saying or doing or saying they're going to do to you and just throws it out the window, because you already know what you're doing it for. And then for some of the people that you're doing it for, if they don't have a problem with it and they're the ones that are for it and not against it, those are the only ones you really got to worry about. I know that fighting fans isn't a great thing, even though, you know, Kyle Busch made it a little, you know, hectic there at Bristol, but It is what it is. And I'm not really fighting fans. I kind of feel bad for them. I think a lot of them are manipulated by a marketing ploy, you know. So, I mean, that's where I come back to. So, I mean, I don't know why I'm a little bit more calmer. I have been playing the first-person shooter game, but I don't know. That really doesn't do much. I just do that for, you know, 30 minutes or so for every day, try to do something else, because I literally do stay on my productions and videos and making the inside the dirts and trying to figure out where I'm going to go this next week and trying to figure out what I'm going to do in January or where I'm going to be in December or where I'm going to do this or do that or and I have, you know, other side projects where I do make commercials for some businesses, so there's always something going.
PRI I think second week or first week of December, of course, right there at the 30th through the 1st is Dirt in December, the St. Louis Dome. Before we talk about your highs of the highs that I don't think you've experienced yet, but you've been more in the lows of the lows, I want to find out what you believe that in your career path, what the highs would be now that you've been in the trenches and you've had shit thrown on you and you've had a lot of criticism. What do you expect to elevate it? But I also want your opinion real quick on how you think the Superdome, the Dome racing Dirt in December, how that can kind of feed in and affect exactly what you've been talking about, getting it on a national stage. Take Texas Stadium. take any ballpark in Atlanta and make that into a racetrack. Is this an idea that could help elevate the sport?
I think it could help elevate it definitely in the off season. In a perfect world, to me, in the off season, we have dome races that promote the sport, show the sport to people, and then in the racing season, that promotion of the sport of the cars of the drivers in the domes help the regular racing season tracks that are across America work or racing every single week. That's how I would view the dome series racing or anything like that would be like a huge marketing ploy in itself. To get into a lot of these high populist areas, into big stadiums, and bring in people. The only problem with that is bringing in people to fill those stadiums. I mean, Dirt in December is very lucky to have a football team gone and have an open dome and to have just one race. If that was a weekly race, you know, for the whole month of December at the dome, it probably wouldn't fill up with 40,000 people every single week or 45. I think for a dome series to properly work, it has to have some huge marketing ploy through media to go along with it. Because it'd be really hard to go to a lot of different cities and, like I said, make it logical to rent out a stadium for hundreds of thousands of dollars and try to get it back, you know. It would be hard to get a lot of first-timers to come out, especially when, you know, you're talking in the 60,000 seating range that a lot of these high marquee stadiums are at. I talked to some people over there at the Feld Entertainment. They're, you know, going to do something possibly on their own if they do something, but they have been keeping an eye on it. They're definitely paying attention to the dome race that goes on. Of course, Feld is the ones that run the Monster Jam and all that stuff and the Supercross. They're still years away from doing something if they were going to, period. So, and they're not interested in mixing in any of the dirt stuff with their Supercross or Monster Jam races, which would help a lot because you could get a lot of people that were coming to see that to see a dirt track race for the first time. But besides that, I think it would work out a lot. Maybe somebody needs to come along and do their own dome series, but you're talking about multiple millions of investment and probably, you know, at least multiple millions probably in media ads as well. So, I mean, to really be able to sell out stadiums like you would have to. So, I mean, it's just a lot of money on the table to try to do something like that. You already do have two, you know, special events right now in domes or indoors, Chili Bowl, Dirt in December. That's obviously the big ones. You have a lot more micro indoor races that go on in the off season as well. And they're throwing in some of those mini mods and stuff. I mean, those can be hosted in smaller arenas, so they happen more often. And then once, you know, Chili Bowl is over, you're only a few weeks away from running in Florida. So it might be okay how it is right now, but it could definitely, I think something like that would help out a lot. It would just, like I say, take multiple millions, probably a $10 million budget to think about doing it, and probably, you know, first year you probably wouldn't make it all back. So you got to look at something that's worth losing a couple million. Right. Now do you go buy Badlands Motor Speedway or do you do a dome series? You know, you could look at it like that. You know, because Badlands, I believe, or the Huset Speedway is on sale for $9.2 million and had $18 million or whatever, $30 million invested into it. That guy could have just started a dome series, you know. So there's obviously people out there with the money willing to invest into dirt on that level. So is it something that would help? Obviously. Is it something that someone wants to do? Well, it's just about bringing the money to the table and actually doing it. So.
Back to the last question, the highs of the highs, the lows of the lows. You're on a shoestring budget. You drive a 10-15-year-old car with 200,000+ miles on it. You've been seen on the East Coast. You've been seen in the Midwest. You've gone to every little place in between, including the Panhandle. What is your idea of making it, doing what you're doing? What do you want?
I mean, really, if I was traveling around in a $400,000 RV and was, you know, making, you know, eight figures a year doing what I'm doing right now, and the sport really is still in the same condition that it is, in my opinion, then I wouldn't be any happier than if I was doing it in what I am right now. I don't really think that it's, you know, based on my personal stature on what I'm doing or trying to change or what do I want. For example, what I want wouldn't be necessarily for me. It would be for the whole sport to get its notoriety. I mean, if I could trade it all in to get the regular person down the street knowing what it even is, that would be great. That's kind of what I'm doing, what I'm trying to do. I mean, there would be ways to make it a little bit easier. I mean, what I want personally is for that to change, to make it, you know, what I'm doing, which I do think helps a lot. I mean, to make that any better.
I believe you're answering the way that I asked the question, and then I left that for you to explain yourself. It's not something when you're explaining to these fans that you drive around in an older car, that you're willing to go the distance, that you created all this material. You've got to have something more than just a name for yourself. You have to be on a real mission here.
Well, I mean, yeah, I do, like I said, I do think that the shows and stuff like that help out, you know, trying to show the drivers off. Like I said, I that's really the goal, is trying to show the sport off in a different way. I think my stuff's a little bit different than most that you see out there, and I do that purposefully to try to get people to watch it. I show my stuff off to new people all the time, and they like it a lot. That, I mean, what do I want, I thought was the question. But, I mean, I would like to have a few more sponsors on board, or, you know, not drive a 15-year-old car, but that really wouldn't satisfy me at all. I don't think any great mind or anyone who does do anything great, they don't ever, you know, there isn't something that they're always striving to try to do until the day that they're gone. They're always, you know, giving 110% or going to the next length. Once one length has been reached, they go for the next one that's there. So, I don't think there is no satisfaction for the ones that make things happen. I really don't. I honestly, that's probably the best answer, is there probably will be no satisfaction. You know, what I would like to see, would be the sport to get more attention. And if it got to that point, then try to take it to some next level as well. So, I mean, that I don't think ambition would go away, really, as far as, you know, settling for, I don't know, some kind of offer of, I don't know, some kind of, I guess you would say some kind of offer of settling. I don't really understand what else to say. Some kind of comfortable area. I don't think there would ever be a comfortable place to be.
It's easier doing what you're doing and being as real about it as possible because you are in the trenches. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, anything starts from somewhere. I mean, I could easily be done anytime soon. I mean, luckily I've been able to, you know, keep this thing going, and you know, funding obviously is what keeps it going at all. I would have loved to go to more places and travel to more places. There's a lot of more so regrets from this year, more so than accomplishments or heights, you know, going to this place or that place. You know, I look at it as that, well, that's the only places I could have went to. You know, if I could have got some, you know, help here or help there, or had a little bit more money here or a little bit money there, I could have went to this race and I could have went to that race, but I couldn't. So I look at it as some failures in there too. So that's how I would look at it, really, is a lot of failures more so than successes, even though
I don't think
there was a lot.
Rightfully say that. I think that you've influenced a lot of people, and you've gotten a certain voice out there of some things that have always been said around a shop barrel, but very rarely is it put into mainstream, much less articulated the way that you bring it to the table. Craig Moore, do you have any closing questions?
I don't have anything for him, which is odd.
He just
normally I have one.
He just hates me.
But I
don't. Cool. You don't like me. It's cool. You don't have nothing for me.
All right, I do.
I think you got him. I think you hit him dead.
You know
how
you Kanye West is hated for liking Trump being.
You need a new hairstyle.
Oh, a new hairstyle. Style up. You know, it's going away. I've heard that one a couple times too, but
yeah.
I only have faith.
No, seriously. Seriously.
I imagine it is going away with all the stress that happens at a dirt track, and Craig's been involved with dirt track racing. He understands a lot of what you're saying as well.
We really don't have a lot of insecurity. I think that's something that kind of makes people mad or scares them a little bit. Is I don't really have too much insecurity. You know, I'm not worried about how big I am. I'm not caring too much about if my teeth are white. I don't care if my hair is going away. As far as a guy, you don't have too many insecurities. I mean, penis size is one, but heck, look at your middle finger. I'm jealous of you.
Come on now. Look, you put on a blazer, and most, and that's mostly been something that's gone away. So I think that you understand perception is it can be used in a good factor too. So let's not downplay that. But
I just had it on 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, there you go. See, the guy loves to wear a blazer, and I think Donald Trump likes to wear a blazer too. But anyway, any closing statements, Chaz, as we have to move on to our last final topics here tonight.
I did have a few there. Somebody said something, and I wanted to respond with it, but you distracted my mind. So maybe it was meant to be to not respond like that. I mean, anybody out there who's listening to my stuff or may like my stuff, you can always help out patreon.com/dirttrackchaz. I do have a few people that help out there that obviously helps get from A to B or pay a cell phone bill. You know, basically, it's a collective deal. Like Ricky Thornton, I think, said it best. A lot of the dirt track people and fans and drivers, they want to blame promoters or something like that, where really, you know, if we all just got collectively together and said, you know, we need, you know, a dirt collective, even though I think that name's already trademarked there by Jeremy Cross, but... you know, get together and try to change that awareness issue. I think it's very easy to do. You know, I got really some hard attention there from the dirt track sprint car world when I made that video about Knoxville Nationals last year, where we had Kyle Larson, you know, wasn't able to race Saturday, but the dirt track world raised hell to Chip Ganassi, and we changed that. We got Kyle Larson to the Knoxville Nationals, the fans. If we put that same attention and same effort towards trying to get these dirt tracks, you know, aware by people or mainstream media paying attention to them, if we were all raising hell like we did for that subject, maybe if that mattered just as much or if not more, then things could really change. I can only do so much on my own, you know, and it's a tough road to lead. So, I mean, for those who like it, share it. If you don't want to say it yourself, share it, you know. I'm not scared to put it on camera. You know, I don't mind taking the heat. So if you're, you know, worried to say it yourself, share the video. And heck, I've even heard people say they're scared to share it too because they're worried about getting all the criticism. So don't let people scare you on how you feel. That's the biggest deal. Even if you are, you know, crazy like Alex Jones, I mean, at least he's not scared to say what he feels and gets banned from the internet, you know. So just, even if you do get banned from the internet, you can't be scared to continue what you're saying.
Well, he's definitely not banned either. I listened to a show last night, and I like certain parody. I like certain satire. I think it's up to us to decide what's real and what isn't. And in this day of politically correctness, it's nice to see something that's genuine, from the heart, unfiltered.
Well, I think, Alex, I think in this world of political correctness, you have a lot of political corruption as well, and that political corruption has a lot of investors in mainstream media, and maybe some of the stuff Alex Jones says isn't always fake. You know, a lot of it may be true, and they don't want that out there. Just like exactly. You're saying, even though I'm saying it's true, some people may not want that out there, but I guess NASCAR doesn't have as much pull as the Clintons and all those people. So
where's that list at? Lord have mercy. Chaz, thank you for being on here tonight. DeWitt Craig.
Oh, I didn't say anything, brother. That was Chaz.
Oh, my bad.
Never mind. I said something about Honduras. Let's just end it now. I don't want to get on it. Nope.
Yeah. Clinton's okay, well, you know what? We've had a great night tonight, and I think that you've kind of you were in a different tone tonight, and I really enjoyed the interview, and you know, we did discuss some topics that are not necessarily debated here on Race Chat Live, but the one thing that you said about you is you bring a certain opinion, and most of these shows that you see these days, they're opinionated. You know, I watch a lot of Colin Cowherd. He's probably the most opinionated sportscaster that's ever lived. But there's a reason why we follow these guys, and it's just keep up the good work, and we'll try to support you any way we can, Chess.
Yeah, we should get you on the table. I was just going to say, I only have real one hardcore sponsor that stayed with me this whole time, and that's IRP Race Cars. They've done a lot for me, and we got a real good special episode of Inside the Dirt coming up this next week. You know, we had the Race for Hope this last week, kind of some two big IMCA races back-to-back. They had the Fall Classic down there at Waco, and they had like 300 cars. We were there for that one, and big $10,000 to win Dirt Dominator one-on-one race, which IRP car picked up, which is pretty cool to have. All pro clutch and drive lines jumped on for two episodes as well. But I was just going to say, we should get you on Turning the Table. You know, I've been on this talk show a few times and promoted some of my stuff. We should get you on Turning the Table and, you know, promote this shindig y'all got going here, because it's reached a lot of people. We didn't touch on the sim racing stuff. You said we would, but I guess that's for another time. Although the owner of iRacing did see it. I was actually told that from a guy who was in Charlotte this last weekend. The iRacing owner told him about it because they're kind of higher-ups. I know some higher-ups in there. And, you know, the iRacing owner saw the video, thought it was funny. And also, I may be at PRI. For those who may want to know, I've got an opportunity to possibly host a talk show at PRI for the, I think it's 3 days. I've never been there. I'm supposed to be there Wednesday. So I may be at PRI hosting a show, and we'll be able to reach out and talk to whoever wants to talk. And if Kenny Wallace wants to talk, he wasn't able to talk at Terre Haute when I walked up on him. Maybe he'll walk up on me there.
Sounds good. Yeah, the PR is normally on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And so you have yourself a good time, meet a lot of people, shake a lot of hands. And, you know, that's the time where a lot of the business people in racing, they take the time to let you know what you're doing is important for the sport.
Definitely. Get you on Turn the Table somehow.
All right. Well, we'll get my people to get a hold of your people. Craig, did I hear something from you, buddy?
Yeah, again, Chaz, I just want to thank you a whole lot. And that sounds like a plan. I'd like to do that.
Yeah, definitely. All right, man, we appreciate you, and you have yourself a good night, Chaz. Keep tagging us.
All righty, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Chaz Thompson, ladies and gentlemen, Dirt Track State of Mind, also Inside the Dirt and several other productions that he puts out through Facebook. I didn't ask him if he had a Twitter account. I'm sure he does. We'll have to check that out there. Craig Moore. Craig, Mr. CJ Sports, if I can bring you back in here. You know, Chaz is hung up now. What do you guys think about the interview? I've seen a more seasoned Chaz. You know, it seems like in the beginning, you know, he was, you know, I wouldn't say his energy level has changed, but his adoption of what he's preaching has seemed to come together a little bit better for him. What do you guys think about the interview?
Oh, absolutely. He's I said he must have taken a sedative tonight, because he was all over the board like normal, which was cool. Definitely. I mean, I've seen a big difference in him from the last two times we've had him on till this time. So it was a great interview. Always a great interview when he's on. But,
oh, yeah, then the guy can talk faster than me, no doubt.
Yeah, and I didn't think anybody could do that except to use car salesman, and I'm pretty good at that.
Then Mr. CJ Sports.
Very, very intriguing. Like I said, when I was on earlier, just different things he said just kind of like I never thought of things different in those ways. Just like the whole, if you don't like yourself, then how's anybody else supposed to like you? And I've never been one to like my own post. I just thought that that's just something you don't do. Like, but now I kind of look at it differently. And when you talked about, you know, the whole marketing and it opening up viewership, you know, it makes sense. And so there's a lot of things that were said that, I don't know, the light bulb went off, and I was very intrigued on things that I heard tonight.
Yeah, I kind of, when he said about liking your own post, I'm like, that irritates me when I see somebody like their own post. But I'm going to start doing it and see if it improves.
Yeah, I mean, it has to improve viewership, especially through the pages. Of course, you can like the page, and then you can like the page from a page. And I mean, all you're doing is just generating what you would have to pay Facebook to do themselves. You're not really paying anything from Facebook. They're turning these cycles on that are already implemented within the software. So, you know, you're basically create your viewerships just by doing simple liking and sharing and using your other outlets to do the same. It was an intriguing conversation. There was a lot to learn. And you know, he is over the top at times. I think that he was kind of settled down. He kept us in the right direction. He kept us from jumping from topic to topic. So I definitely see where the kid's coming from, and I like his work, and I feel like we gave him a chance from the beginning, and we've continued to stand behind him even as, I mean, he's literally had poop thrown at him. I mean, you know, these guys are ruthless on the internet, all these keyboard warriors, and you know, we have our own discussions, and most of the time they're in a private conversation. But you know, he's willing to put it out there. He's willing to kind of talk about anything. Of course, you know, it drives me crazy that we're trying to pin two sports against each other. But I have to believe in him as well. I love dirt track racing, man. I would love to see it elevated on its own instead of what he calls NASCAR welfare. I mean, you know, these analogies that he uses, they make sense, man.
No, they definitely do. Hey, let's switch gears real quick. You know, I'm looking at the points in the truck series, drivers. Well, okay. The top, Brett Moffitt, who's in third, Gregson, who's in fourth, and then right below the cutoff line is Enfinger and Crafton. The race in the truck series, and I know what you're going to say. Well, they have a lot fewer races. You're right. But the race is a lot closer than any other series, because here is, do you realize that if Crafton wins, obviously he's in, but one bad race and it shuffles the whole leaderboard more so than it does in the Cup Series. Chris?
Uh-oh.
No, Chris.
I got the mute button. Sorry. Your question was what, Craig? Go ahead.
No, it amazes me at how close the race is point-wise in the truck series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're running on the same point system.
Well, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the, you know, Johnny Sauter, first of all, has slaughtered the competition all year long, and now the guys who were up near the top, they didn't have as many stage points because you have less stage points that carry over because of more influence from Kyle Busch and these other drivers. And so there wasn't as much cushion to lean on. And I think we're going to go down with Haley, Sauter, and who are the other two that's riding into Phoenix?
Well, Moffitt and Gregson. Moffitt's plus 22, Gregson's plus 18. Just below the cutoff line, you got Grant Enfinger, or Grant Middlefinger, as I call him. He's 18 below the cutoff. And Matt Crafton, he's 23 below the cutoff.
Right.
And you're right. I forgot about Kyle Busch stinking up the field half the year. But
right, and other drivers as well, that, you know, John Hunter Nemechek was not running for points, and he got a couple of wins. You know, there's, you know, a lot of these lower series have had influence from other drivers racing in their series, which gives them lack of playoff points. But who would have really guessed that, you know, Haley would be going in to you know, Homestead with a chance to win a championship? We watched him lose a race in the Xfinity series, but now all of a sudden he seems to be the favorite outside Johnny Sauter to win a championship.
Yeah, I'm just amazed. And, you know, I say it every week, NASCAR's got to do something, because there was a lot of empty seats in Texas this weekend. But
yeah, that's sad. It really is, man. Because
you're looking at turns 3 and 4, and the stands that coming out of 4 were like completely bare. Now, I don't know if they're doing a remodel on the stands back there. Maybe they're doing something back there so they close them off. That just wouldn't seem logical, seeing how it's the second race before the end. For the third race before the end, but who knows?
Yeah. What I suggest is that these big cities that these racetracks are in need to be more exposed to these to the racing, just as Chad said earlier, and you know, make sure that these the bleachers are filled. You know, how are you ever going to get Texas Stadium filled up with a bunch of race car fans if they can't get Fort Worth, Texas Motor Speedway filled up for a weekly event? Yeah, I mean, for a yearly event.
But, you know, it just boggles my mind. I look at the stands every week, and, you know, numbers are a big deal for me, and I don't know why, but they are. And I look at the stands, and I'll just shake my head. And 10 years ago, you couldn't get a ticket. You were on a waiting list for some tracks. Now
right.
You can buy tickets at the gate. But
it's actually best to buy your tickets from a scalper because they're trying to get rid of them. I hate to say it, but it's true. You know, because there's just too many tickets out there that are available. It's definitely some different times in NASCAR. I hope that they're moving in the right direction. I hope the dirt track racing continues its manifest and continues to grow. Craig, we're almost done, man. It's almost the full year. Of course, I've enjoyed all of y'all. I know we got to do some final picks, but is there anything else on the docket here tonight?
Yeah, I want to talk about Christopher Bell. That man has won. That kid has won 6 races this year. But yet he's sitting 34 points below the cutoff line. That just goes. He had a bad double D, maybe triple D, Texas. He's going into the first turn. He's got the pole. He's going in. He gets loose, flies up the racetrack. If you watch the Xfinity race, and I don't know how much of it you watch, I watched pretty much all of it. There was 13 or 14 cautions in that race. So most of the incidents were between 1 and 2. But he just had a bad, bad day. And it started at lap 1 and it didn't get much better.
Well, the whole winning your end theory doesn't work if you're not consistent in the playoffs. And I think Christopher Bell has found the bad bug and it's bit him. Maybe he can get that turned around here at IMS Speedway this weekend. I think for the next 2 weekends we have trucks and Xfinity Series, right, guys?
Yeah,
ooh,
we have
that jambalaya. Boy, you got a heartburn. Hold on, go ahead.
We have all 3 series on in the next 2 weeks.
All right. Well, who's your picks, Mr. CJ Sports?
when it comes to the Cup Series, I really hate that I waited 1 week on Kevin Harvick and was waiting for him at Phoenix. I really thought that we'd have another week before he won. And I don't believe we touched on that whole photo op and flag thing. I thought that at least for that kid was a really cool thing. I know there's been a lot of publicity about it, but we kind of seen that by Christopher Bell earlier this year. So it, to me, it wasn't as spectacular. It's more felt that he kind of capitalized on something that was a hit earlier in the year. But for the kid's sake, it was a special moment. I don't know, I kind of see Christopher Bell coming out of this funk and logging himself in an opportunity to win a championship in the Xfinity Series. And Moffitt for the Truck Series.
So you're going with Moffitt to win the championship or Moffitt to win at Phoenix this weekend?
Moffitt to win the Phoenix this weekend.
And you're going and Bell to win Xfinity. Who was your cup pick?
I'm still sticking with Harvick. That's who I said last week. I was waiting for Phoenix for Harvick. Seems to be his house. So,
Craig Moore.
All right. Well, listen, I want to give you some quick stats from for IMS or PIR, however you want to look at it. The best finisher so far at IMS is going to be my pick to win this weekend and get himself back into the chase and into Homestead, and that's going to be the driver of the 9 car, Chase Elliott. He has finished, his average finish at PIR is 6th. A-double is 16th. Boyer is 18th. He's another one we didn't touch on. They had nothing but problems. And Kurt Busch is 13th, his average, their average finishes. I'm going to say Chase is going to win in the Cup Series. I'm going to go with Matt Crafton. I'm going to go with Matt Crafton to get himself a spot in the Final Four in the Truck Series. And I'm going to go with Algier in the Xfinity Series to give himself a slot in the Final Four.
All right. Well, let's see. In the Truck Series, I'm going to have to go with Johnny Sauter. He's just been explosive all year. I think he's going to finish it out. No big surprise there. Of course, Cole Custer. He finally got him one. I think I picked him for 29 out of 30-something races. And he finally got him one. Go Cole Custer. I'm going to change my pick this week, though. I think that Christopher Bell will pick up the win, as Mr. CJ Sports had said. And on the Cup side, man, oh, man, I want to go with Harvick. But something tells me to go with Boyer. I want to make my pick with Clint Boyer. I know that's kind of odd, but 3 Fords and 1 Toyota in the if Boyer picks up a win and Harvick's in, then I believe that'll and Logano's in, then that leaves only one other person that goes in on points. Goes into the championship. So that actually knocks one of the points riders out. And then it would be a great battle between whether or not it would be Kyle Busch or Martin Truex Jr. I'm hoping on a lot here, but I found a way to get 3 Ford drivers in there against 1 Toyota. And so I'm going to go with Clint Boyer. Clint Boyer for the win, guys. I bet y'all are surprised by that, aren't you?
A little bit, but Boyer's got nothing to lose. He's more than a race down. So he is a definite win, or you racing just for racing's sake. I got a question for you. Martin Truex Jr. had one of the dumbest penalties ever. Do you know what that was?
What?
he had an extra man over the wall. Do you know how the hell that happened?
Yeah, his feet were dangling.
His feet were on the pit road. They were literally on the ground. What's he doing, sitting there drinking a beer? Dude, your driver's coming in for a pit stop. Your feet aren't supposed to be over the wall. If I was Martin, I probably would have got out of that track, out of that car after the race. And he and I would have had a really stiff talking to, especially if he plans on going to the 19 with me next year.
Yeah, I mean, Martin Truex Jr. could very well find himself outside of the championship fold going into Homestead. And that's got to be a pretty nerve-wracking feeling, understanding that their team hasn't given up. And we all kind of thought that the team would give up. And here we are, one race away from the championship, and Truex is there. It's going to take one of these back five to eight guys, you know, fifth through eighth in the championship to kind of put that into a race in itself. But, you know, their back's against the wall, and those simple little penalties there could possibly come back and haunt you.
Absolutely. Little things like that are going to do him in. But I like your pick, Clint Boyer. He's got nothing to lose. But if I'm going on average finishes, we're going with Chase Elliott. Now, I do know that Chase has only been racing a couple of years, so that plays a lot into the numbers. But I still got to go with Chase.
I do want to make a quick comment about Phoenix. They've literally put the finish line in the old Phoenix, where you would hug all the way down onto the bottom to try to make it through three, and you know, as you enter three and try to make it through four without hitting, going up all the way to the wall. Well, now just as you're entering that corner, there's the flag stand. It's very weird going into what is now the back stretch and not having the flag stand there. So I've raced it a few times on NASCAR Heat 3, and it's definitely a track that will leave your head scratching of why did they move the flag stand. But I'm predicting right now a crazy finish. Somebody shoots all the way to the bottom of the racetrack. There's going to be about, I don't know, probably a four-story building. There's a separation between the top of the racetrack and the bottom of the racetrack down there. And if somebody comes around that corner and dives down to the bottom, there's almost no telling what we could see at the finish line. Maybe we'll get a taste of it in one of the earlier series before the NASCAR guys come out there and race for it. So I want to thank everybody for listening here tonight, and I want to thank all of our supporters. You guys got anything to close on? I mean, you got your clothes on, but you got anything to end the interview with? And we made Chaz say doo-doo. How about that?
Listen, just a couple of quick things. If you've got a local election, I encourage you to go out and vote. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Go out and vote.
Get out and vote. Number two, I have got a busier-than-snot weekend. I kind of planned it that way. Friday night, I'm doing my regular gig at Snowden. Saturday, I'm doing a private party. Sunday, I am doing a Veterans Day benefit at the local American Legion here in Broad Albany, New York. Myself and a guy that used to be on our local country station, Mike Snyder. He's doing 1 to 4, and then I'm doing 5 to 8 or 5 to 9 or whenever they kick me out. Maybe 6 o'clock, who knows. But get out to your local Legion this weekend, BFW, and say thank you to your veterans, because without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. You wouldn't be able to listen to it. And then Monday, we will not be here next Monday. Instead, we will be here next Thursday, because I am DJing and emceeing a benefit for a family here whose daughter passed away last month. So just going to go out and support your local Legion VFW this weekend. Give your veterans thanks for allowing you to do what you do, work, worship, listen to, whatever you want to call it. your freedom, thank them for that, because after all, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't get to do what we do. So that's all I've
Amen.
Got. And we will talk to you guys next Thursday night at 8 o'clock.
The old bat time, the old bat place. Mr. CJ Sports, you got anything to close with there, bud?
Yeah, I want to make sure that I thank Fit. I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, Maxivation Digital Media, Carolina Sports Plus, I-95 Sports Network, Mile High Radio. Follow us at 110 Nation. Like us at 110 Nation Sports. Check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, the 110 Nation Sports Show, as I get you guys all caught up on everything else non-racing in the sports world that has gone on over the weekend. And we got Izzo, our NHL expert, joining us at 9:30 to get you guys caught up on this week in the NHL.
All right, thank y'all for listening. I'm going to eat me an ice cream bar and finish watching this Dallas versus Tennessee game. Tennessee just took the lead 14-7. How about them Cowgirls? Thank y'all. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.